Praise the Lord. Well, it's nice to be in the house of the Lord again today, isn't it? Well, I don't know about you, but I feel good being in the house of the Lord. Amen. Let's get into the Word of God this morning. Last week, return unto your first love, he told us. And I said, you know, we're going to be talking from the letters that he wrote, Jesus wrote, or commanded to be written to the churches. And he said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. So you might say that that was part one last week. You might say that this is part two of letters to the churches. But I have a different title that the Lord gave me here. And what we're going to speak on this week, today, is going to be called the Christ with a C for Christ. P-R-I-C, as in Christ, E. The Christ for the prize with a C, as in zebra. So it's the prize for the prize. You say, is that in the book of letters to churches? Well, yes. Because we're going to talk today about the overcomer's reward. The reward of the overcomer. But before we get to the reward of the overcomer, we are going to lay a foundation. And we're going to speak about the reward that God has for everything that we do. Now I want you to turn with me to Mark chapter 4. Now today we are talking on the subject of the prize for the prize. And, you know, before we get up, before we finish today, we are going to find out what the greatest prize, the greatest reward is. And we're going to see the higher the reward or the prize, the greater the prize you have to pay sometimes. Now, in the book of Mark, chapter 4, and I'm going to read from verses 23 through 25. Now this is Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. And I'm going to read from verse 23 through 25. If any man have ears to hear, if you have ears to hear, let him hear. Same thing as what he said in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, repeatedly. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Same thing here. If any man has an ear, let him hear. Take heed what you hear this morning. See? Because with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And unto you that hear, so if you receive the word, more will be given. See? And he that hath shall be given, and he shall have more. See? But from him that hath not, shall be taken away from that which he hath. So let's take heed this morning to the word of God. And the Bible does say that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And we know that's in Luke chapter 4 and verse 4. So we see that there is a message that the Lord will have for us this morning. And I'm going to talk about the overcomer's reward. And let's see what Paul has to say about it at first. Here in Philippians chapter 3, I'm going to read from Philippians chapter 3, we'll read here verse 14. I have a number of scriptures to give you so that your faith will be in the word of God and not, you know, in the wisdom of any man's speech. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. Philippians 3 Okay, we have some trouble with my back on now. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, notice he said, high calling. This one
his mics.
He said, "Hi, Colleen." And it's the high calling that is a prize for the high calling of God that is in Christ Jesus. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm going to read in verse 24 real quick before I get this. I'm laying a foundation for this before I get into the real message. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'm going to read from verse 24. It says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? For one receiveth a prize." So we are commanded, you know, we are exhorted here to run so that you may obtain. So there is a prize for running in the race. See, if you go to an athletic meet or a track meet and they are running, you know, there is a prize. You know, everybody runs, but, you know, only the winner is going to get the prize. So he's encouraging us here to run so that you can get the prize. So we're going to be talking about different prizes and different rewards that God has for his people. You know, the Bible says we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Not because, you know, we are judged. We have already passed from death unto life. But so that we may receive the reward for our works. So we're going to show how that works in the scriptures. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now there are many rewards that the Bible talks about. The greatest of this reward for us is the reward of the overcomer. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But before we do that, I want to cover all of these other rewards that God talks about in the Bible, just so you see that there is a reward for everything that we do. And the Bible does say that we should not faint. We should not be weary in well-doing, because there is a reward if we don't faint. So let's look at some of these things. Now, some of these rewards that we're going to look at, there are rewards here on earth, and there's also rewards, eternal rewards in heaven, by the time we get to the overcomer's reward. But there are some things where Jesus talks about rewards, and let's look at it. Now, I want to make sure that everybody understands this, that Jesus said that I am coming quickly, and I'm bringing my reward with me, to reward every man according as his work shall be. We're going to read that scripture in a minute. I'm coming to reward every man according as his work shall be. So there are rewards for all of these things. But here are some other things that he promises rewards for. In Matthew chapter 6, he talks about reward for fasting and praying when you do it properly, not to be seen of men, but when you do it in secret. That's in Matthew chapter 6, verses 6 and 18. It talks about when you do it, your prayers and your fasting in secret, that the Lord will reward you openly. So there is a reward right there for fasting and for praying. How many of you say amen?
Amen.
There is also reward for giving. You know, Luke chapter 6, verse 38 says, when you give, he promised that it will be given back to you. So there's a reward for that. We're not talking about offerings or taking up an extra offering or anything like that this morning. We're just talking about the rewards that God promised in the Bible. And we're going to see, by the time I finish with this message, some of the prize that's associated with getting these rewards. Now, in any case, any of these rewards that we are going through in the scriptures, I want you to know that it is a reward for something. And that means that there is something that we do and that's associated with that reward. So we've seen the reward for prayer and fasting well done properly. There is a reward in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 41 for receiving a prophet's message. Because it says, if you receive a prophet in the name of the prophet, you will receive a prophet's reward. That's in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 41. So we see there is a reward. You know, you get the same reward as the prophet. See, that's what he says in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 41. Now there is also a reward for helping. You know, that's in Matthew chapter 10, verse 42. He says, if you will give, I'm going to read that one to you. If you will give a cup of water to any of these ones, Matthew chapter 10 Whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you that he shall in no wise lose his reward. So there is even reward for benevolence. You know, you help somebody that's in need and so forth like that. So we see that there is a reward for that. But I want to read a rendition of this same thing in Mark chapter 9. Kind of like that one there. Mark chapter 9, verse 41. Let's see what it says in Mark chapter 9 and verse 41. For whosoever shall give a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ. See, that's why I like that version better. I mean, if you do anything in the name of the Lord, just because you belong to Christ, notice what it says. Verily I say unto you, you shall not lose your reward. How many of you think that's wonderful? Anything that you do for the Lord, because you belong to Christ, in the name of the Lord, Jesus said, you will not lose your reward. Now some of you, you know, I mean, you give an offering, you do something, you know, for the Lord, you witness to a soul, you sing in the choir, you do all of these things and so forth. Sometimes you wonder, but the Bible says you will not lose your reward. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. So there is a reward for even giving and doing anything in the name of the Lord. You will not lose your reward. Now here's some wonderful rewards for suffering for Christ. Now, if we suffer for Christ, Matthew chapter 5 verse 12. He said, when you are persecuted for Christ, he said, rejoice, because your reward is great in heaven. When you suffer for the Lord, the Bible says we should rejoice, because our reward is great in heaven. But more importantly, listen to what he says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12. Listen to the way the Bible puts it in this place. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12. Here's what it says. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. So, to reign with Christ, and we're going to get to those overcomers, promises and rewards in a minute, but before we can reign with him, we must suffer for him. That's what the Bible is saying here. So we see that that is true. Also in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 13, he tells us, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 13. And here's what it says. This one, this reward here is talking about sufferings for Christ. 1 Peter 4 and verse 13. But rejoice in so much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, so you may also rejoice with exceeding joy. So when we suffer for Christ, so you will be a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Now here is a reward for enduring faith and patience. Reward for enduring faith and patience. It says Matthew chapter 24 and verse 13. It says in that verse, he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. So we see that there is a reward for enduring to the end. The end of that endurance comes with salvation. And he also gives the same thing in different ways in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35. Hebrews chapter 10. I'm giving a lot of scriptures this morning. I hope you're writing that. This is kind of a teaching rather than just preaching. Now, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, he says, cast not away your confidence. It has a great recompense of reward. So, when you have had confidence and you have had faith in the Lord, endure to the end and don't cast it away, because it has a great reward. That's what he's saying. Also, in Revelation chapter 11 and verse 18. I want you to turn with me to Revelation 11 and verse 18. Revelation 11 and verse 18. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, both small and great, And thou should I destroy them that destroy the earth. So many people don't know that there is a reward in Christ. See, the Bible says the books were opened. The book of Lamb, the Lamb's book of life, and another set of books were opened, the record books. God has an account and a record of everything that we've ever done. How many of you say amen to that?
Amen.
Now, we cannot earn salvation by any works that we do. The Bible tells us clearly in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9, that faith is what gets us salvation. He said it is the gift of God, not of works, lest that any man should boast. We are saved by grace. So we cannot earn that. See, but you must do something. Everything, you still got to do something. Even for salvation, you must do something. Because it is clear that the Bible says, repent and be converted in order for you to be saved. See, so if you are not willing to do anything, you may not even get salvation. You must repent. See, the reason there is so much lukewarmness today is because people don't repent. You see, so they want to be saved, but they don't want to repent. They want to continue in their ways, but that's not going to work. The Bible says we must repent. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. So we see that the works that we are talking about here, there is a reward for all of them, but we're not talking about getting salvation by the works. No, no, no. That's all we're talking about. We're talking about the reward. It's like there's going to be a great prize given. They see you are saved already when you appear at the judgment seat of Christ. See, because you've taken his name while you are here on earth, you're already saved. See. But then he begins to give rewards. See. And some people may not get anything because they have very little to show for it. And others may get a lot. I mean, you know the story of the Bible, of the talents. And he would say to one, you know, receive more, 5 cities. You know, be over 5 cities, receive more, and so forth. And he would tell them, and there was a reward for all of the faithful servants. We're going to read some of these in a minute. That did something for the Lord, and others that didn't do very much. You know, even the little they had was taken from them in that parable. So, now, in the book of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, I want you to turn with me real quick to that. It says that, I'm going through the scriptures real fast because we've got a number of scriptures. I don't want to take very long. It says that if we do not faint, we shall receive the reward in due season. That's what it says. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, if we faint not, we shall reap. See? So there is a reward for perseverance. And keep on doing, you know, well doing, and don't be weary. The Bible says, in due season, we shall reap. Praise be the Lord. Now, here's a beautiful reward for the soul winner. The soul winner has a beautiful reward. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3. It says, in the book of Daniel chapter 12 verse 3, he actually calls, you know, those that turn many to righteousness, they that be wise, they shall shine. See? They shall shine bright in the kingdom of God. See? They will shine. And even those that turn many to righteousness, they will shine. See, that's in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3. Let me read it to you real quick. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. And Proverbs 11 and verse 30 tells us that he that winneth souls is wise. And so when you put those two scriptures together, Proverbs 11:30, which tells us he that winneth souls is wise, and Daniel 12:3, which tells us that the wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, it means that the soul winner is going to shine. Now here's another reward for the soul winner. See, some of these rewards are here on earth, some are in heaven, and I'm just mixing them all up here. Now, in Psalm 126 and verse 6, it says, he that goeth forth with weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, bring it in the sheets, you know, with rejoicing. So, there is a reward for intercessory prayer, you know, weeping, bearing precious seed, you know, sowing the seed, witnessing, Being a soul winner for Christ, he said you will doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing in the sheep. So we know there's a great reward for that. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Now, I read through all of that real quick because I want to get to these rewards for the overcomers. Before I get to the overcomers rewards, let me read this in Matthew chapter 16. Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 27. Matthew 16, verse 27. What we are doing here is laying a foundation for all the various rewards and different things that God will give us, you know, for what we do for the Lord. Matthew 16, verse 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man, see, according to his works. Now, if you don't believe that that's true, it's right here in the scriptures. It's point blank. It's even written in red, the letters of Jesus, the words of Jesus. When he comes, he will have his reward with him, and he shall give to every man according to his works. See, so that's what we're talking about this morning. Colossians chapter 3. You want to write that down and turn with me. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And I'm just going to read verses 23 through 25. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, and not unto men. See? Anything you do, he tells us point blank. Whatever you are doing, do it with all your mind, as if you are doing it to the Lord. Now, if you are singing on the choir, do it with all your mind. If you are preaching, do it with all your mind, as if you are doing it for the Lord. Don't do it like you are doing it unto man. That's what the Bible says here. And why? Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, because you are serving the Lord Christ. See? But he that doeth wrong shall also receive for the wrong which he hath done. And I want everybody to read the last phrase with me. The last phrase of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 25. What does it say? And there is no respect of persons. There is no respect of persons. How many of you can say that with me? There is no respect of persons. See, with the Lord, there is no respect of persons. He's going to give every man according as his work shall be. And Jesus said, when I come, shall I find faith? And when I come, say, I'm bringing my reward with me. We just read that in Matthew chapter 16. See, when I come, I'm bringing my reward to give to every man according as his word. And so everything that you've ever done, see, some of you little kids in here, you know, when it is time to give the offering, you take your allowance and you give it to the offering. Maybe it's $1, maybe it's 50 cents, maybe it's a quarter. Maybe that's all you have. The Lord, he has a record of it. How many of you say amen? Amen? He has a record of everything that we do in his name. You know. And sometimes you go down the street because you are a believer. If you help somebody, Jesus said, if you do something in the name of the Lord, because you belong to Christ, just because you do it, say, shall in no wise lose your reward. So there is reward for all of these things. And these things are wonderful. You know, as we see the word. Now let's see the scripture that tells us that we must all, you know, come to the place where we give account for ourselves, and we're going to always, you know, every single one of us, as we are doing everything that we are doing in our lives now, we are building on the foundation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he says, let every man be careful how he builds, see, on the foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 8. He that planteth and watereth are one, and everyone shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Everyone shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now in the book of Matthew chapter 20, there is a parable. I love to read the parables because Jesus always used those parables to bring out a point. Some point about the kingdom of heaven. And he gives the parable of the later hour workers, you know, and so forth like that. But at the end, he gives a reward. There is always a reward for all of these things. You know, and he says right here, every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, and ye are God's building. See, and Paul is saying, according to the grace of God which is given me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another man buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. For no other foundation can any man lay other than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, some people are building upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. It's talking about the works. It's not talking about your faith. See? It's talking about the works. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. God's going to put it to the test. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Amen? If your works abide, you will receive a reward. Now, so don't be discouraged. You know, because when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive our reward, some people are going to wish that they could go back and do some more things so that they could get a bigger reward, but it will be too late. This is the time to do it. There is also a reward for giving your life for Christ. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, talks about all of the, you might call the heroes of faith, you know, hall of faith, if you want to put it that way, that did all these great things for the Lord and so forth. And he talked about, at the end, he said, some of them, you did not even accept deliverance. See, that they might obtain a better resurrection. I mean, resurrection is resurrection. Why is it a better resurrection? I mean, he that had part in the first resurrection, even those who are dead, they raise up all of them. The second death has no hurt over them. So why is their own better? Because there is a promise that they get. You see, because the Lord, you know, he loves to show off his people. See? And he will show them off to the angels. See, when they come, when they arrive, the Holy Spirit said that he might present it to himself. When he has presented the church to himself, and he will show the principalities and powers, and Jesus said, I will confess their name before my Father and his angels. And when you get before the Lord, he will introduce you personally. He will say this. See, and this is what you want to hear. You know, there are two commendations. And here's the revelation this morning. There are two commendations that the Lord gives. One, he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. You know, they've done all of these things. He received 5 talents, he made 5 more. He received 10, he made 5, 10 more, and so on. The one that received 1, he buried it, he did nothing. So he got into trouble, and there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. See? But the ones that did well, they got the commendation, well done, thou good and faithful servant. See? Enter thou into joy of the Lord. That's the commendation for their works. See? That's not the commendation for being a son of God. The commendation for being a son of God is well done. See, well done is the commendation for doing the works. But the commendation for being a son of God is what Jesus received coming out of the water, being baptized. He said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye. How many of you say praise the Lord? Now you want to hear that one, no matter what. See, this is my beloved son. And as I've said before here in this church, that when Jesus got that commendation, he had never done a single miracle. He had not even done the miracle of the wine and all of these things and so forth. Yet he got the commendation because that's who he was. And that's where we are coming to. We are going to be like the Christ. We're going to have the full nature of Christ. Complete submission to the Father, just like Jesus was. And we will get that commendation. And when the Lord, when he introduces you to the angels, he will say, this is my beloved son. Because we will be sons of God. How many of you say amen to that? Amen. For as many as believe him, he gave them power to become the sons of God. And he will say, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. See, and so we want to hear that commendation. The only way you're going to get that is to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that comes by faith. You cannot earn it by works or any other way. It is given to us by grace. Jesus, He finished it. He put His stamp on it. He said, it is finished. And He cannot and will not. And there is nothing else for Him to do again to accomplish our salvation. He's already done it. See? But there is a commendation for the works. And this is, I'm talking to believers this morning. I'm not talking to people who don't believe anything. See, if you are not even a believer this morning, you need to come to the place, come to the cross, where you give your life to Christ so that you can hear, this is my beloved soul. And you got to give your life to Christ. There is no other name given under heaven. But I'm talking to the believers this morning. See, I know who I have believed. How many of you know who you have believed? I know that I am going to be in His presence when we get to heaven. I know that. There's no other place. Because my name was written in the last book of life before the world began. There is no other place for me to go. I will be with my Father. That I know. There's no question about it. I don't even think about it. I don't lose any sleep about that. I already know it is done. It is signed, it's sealed, and it's delivered. The Lord already did that. He finished it 2,000 years ago. He said, it is finished. And He said, my sheep hear my voice. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Amen. And I will raise them up at the last day. Even if you give, you know, even if your life is, you know, you lose your life by death or whatever, before the translation, I will raise him up at the last day. We will raise you up one way or the other, either from the grave or in the rapture. He will raise you up. And you will never perish, he said. So we know that. That's done. But we are talking of the reward for the works. See? Because some people will be saved scarcely as by fire. And when they came in there, when everybody, I remember when I was in high school, see? We used to have this thing called Prize Giving Day. And all the parents and everybody would come. See? And when they called, you know, when they called the prize, there was a prize for mathematics. And there was a prize for physics, and one for chemistry, and one for biology, and one for this, and one for that, and one for sports, and so forth. And, you know, when they gave the prize, they would call your name, and if you were the one that earned the prize, you would walk across the stage, and everybody gave a standing ovation. And it was the most wonderful day of the year. Everybody looked forward to that prize giving day. But I tell you what, see, you know, many years I passed through that, and so forth. I never knew. I wasn't even born again then. You know, and later on in life, when I gave my life to the Lord, I remembered all those things. See? And finally, you know, I experienced it one time after I had already given my life to Christ. You know? And now I could understand. See? And that's nothing compared to what the Lord will have. See? But you know, on that day, when they gave the prize, there were so many people that were sheep. Their parents came from far and near because nobody ever told anybody who was going to get the prize. It was kept a secret. Until that day. I see, so many parents were there, and so many students, but only a few got the prize. They say, run that you might obtain. So everybody runs, but not everybody gets the prize. So run that you may obtain. And those that, boy, it was glorious that day. You got your name called, and you walked across the stage, and you got that acclaim. See, and that's what we're talking about this morning, but in spiritual terms. Because Jesus, after having presented you, the Holy Spirit, after having shown and bragged about you to the angels and so forth, it is my beloved son. Then he gives his reward for the works. See? But you may not get any reward if you don't do all of these things. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And there's a reward for that. And I will love him, and I will come, and I will manifest myself unto him. See? Many of us want the manifestation of the Lord in our life, but you are not keeping his words. If you don't keep the word, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is. That loveth me. And I will love him, you'll be loved of me, and my Father will even come and make our abode with him. See? So, but we're talking about every word that has proceeded out of the mouth of God. See? I want to keep every word. What about you? See? And God is able to make every grace, all grace abound to you, so that you may do everything that he has commanded. Praise the Lord. But we do it with joy. Because the commandments of the Lord are not grievous. And they are not burdensome. How many of you know that? Amen. It's not burdensome for me to go out and witness for Christ. It's not burdensome for me to give water to somebody to drink and so forth and do these things and so forth. Because there is a reward there. If we fail not. Praise ye the Lord. So we see that there is all these rewards that God has in the Bible. And there is coming a day that we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And then he gives the reward. And where are we going to be then when all these rewards are being given? See? Because the Bible says at that time there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For some. See? It's not because they were not saved. But they didn't get any reward. See? And you cannot go back. And some people say, I wish I could go back and do it all over again. I'll do all I can for the Lord. I'll do more. See, when they get up there. But it's too late. This is the time to do it. See? Now, let's talk about the greatest example in the Bible. Jesus. Amen. In every one of these sermons, we always come back to Jesus. Because that's what it's all about. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all about Jesus. And we cannot preach any sermon about anything without coming back, right back to Jesus. Because that's what it's all about. Now, let's see what Jesus, let's see how he went, you know, for the prize. And what was the prize that he went for? I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. I told you I like to read these parables that Jesus gives. Because he always, you know, there's always a jam. You know, Jesus doesn't use great, big, mysterious words. He just talks in simple terms that the people could understand. He didn't have to speak some great mysteries. The people couldn't understand the plain language that he spoke anyhow. So why even bother with the dark sentences? He spoke plainly and still they couldn't understand. Well, and when they didn't, then he spoke to them in parables. You know, so that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. But I love those parables because they are not hidden from us. Amen? We understand those parables. So here's one. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 45. This is the greatest prize in the whole world. And Jesus got it. He got it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking, you know, for goodly pearls. Who, when he had found one of great price, see, so there is, you know, this thing has a great price. He went and sold all that he had. And he purchased it. That's like Jesus, you know. He gave up everything to get this pearl of great price. And he got it. And he did everything to get that elect, and boy, did he ever get that elect. How many of you say praise the Lord? Sure, he did. He led captivity captive, and that's the reason why you are sitting here today. He got that pearl of great price. He finished it, he got it, and he lifted it up as a trophy. He got it. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. You know, and he said, no man can snatch them from my hands. He's got you in his hand. The pearl of great price. So that was the greatest thing. But how did he do it? See? How did he do it? I remember it was the greatest prize. And he, you know, the Bible says he sold everything he had in order to purchase it. But how did he do it? Turn with me to the Hebrews chapter 12. And let's see how he did it in verse 2. How did Jesus do it? How did he get this pearl of great price? Looking unto Jesus, the author, and finish up your faith. You know, if you read verse 1 of Hebrews 12, it's telling you that you must run the race that is set before you with patience. Cast away all the things that are holding you back. Run this race with patience. See? And so forth like that. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, that's the price of that pearl. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and look at his reward. He is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He got that prize. You know, he gave up everything. For ye yourselves know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that though he was rich, he became poor for your sins and for mine. He gave up everything to purchase that pearl of great price. And he did. And He suffered everything. I mean, nobody's ever suffered anything like Christ, because being that he was God, yet he humbled himself and stripped himself to become nothing, and they spat in his face. See? This is the season that the world is commending or commemorating the passion, the sufferings of Christ and so forth like that. See? But Jesus suffered all those things for a reason. There was a promise that was set ahead of him. And he set his eyes on the prize and he got it. And he is set on the throne of God. How many of you say amen to that?
Amen.
And Paul was another example. His own was not quite like Christ, because Christ, he got the greatest prize. That's the prize, not only for all of God's elect. He got the prize of the inheritance. He took the book in Revelation chapter 5. He opened the seals. He was the only one that could take that book. He fought for it, and he got it. See, because that was the title deed that gave him the right to everything, and God made sure that whosoever can open this book, he will be the rightful owner. See, in case there's any disputes. See, so he made sure. So he put seven seals upon it to make sure that whoever can open it, in case there's any controversy, in case anybody's disputing who the rightful owner is to claim all these things, he will be the one that can open that book. Well, John, in Revelation chapter 5, he couldn't find anybody. They looked under the earth, over the heavens, everywhere, and cried. And when he couldn't find any, the voice said to him, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He has prevailed." See, so he prevailed. And he got the prize. He got the book. He owns all things now. How many of you say praise the Lord? That's right. He opened the seals and he took the title deed and he claimed it all. And he put 1 foot upon the ground, the sea, and 1 foot upon the earth. He lifted up his hand and swore forever and ever. See, redeem all things. He did. He claimed it all. Especially the sons of God. Because he said, a pearl of great price. So he got it all. And so we are coming into view with that. But as Jesus did it, Paul, he also said, "I have fought a good fight. A good fight." 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 to 8. He said, "I have fought a good fight." Now let's turn to it and see the elements of this thing. Because there are three or four elements in the thing that Paul, he wrote to Timothy there. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, and verses 7 and 8. He said, "I have fought a good fight." So there is a good fight. See, are you fighting a good fight? Or are you beating the air? Paul said, "Well, I don't beat the air. I know exactly what I'm doing." See? And he said, "I have finished my course." Well, many of us have not finished our course yet, because we're still here. See, and now is the time for you to make sure. See, the Bible says, command our own that they maintain good works. Make sure that you are doing the things that he commanded us to do, so that there may be a reward. See, because I'm coming with my reward to give to every man as his labor shall be. Now, he says, henceforth, so he has fought a good fight, he has finished his course, and I have kept the faith. Are you keeping the faith? Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. So there is a crown of righteousness. See, when Jesus, after he's done introducing you to the angels, now he begins to set the crown. So, see, the crown of righteousness for those who have fought the good fight. For those who have kept the faith. For those that finished their course. Like Jesus did. Jesus, he finished his own. He said, "It is finished." So you can't add anything to it. You can't take away from it. It's done. It's finished. And Paul, he did the same thing, and he said, "I have finished my course." Now what about you? Are you going to finish your course? Are you going to stay on track? And are you going to fight? Are you fighting the good fight? And he says, "There is laid up for me the crown of righteousness from the Lord, the righteous judge, that he shall give me," see, "on that day, but not to me only." Amen. "For as many as love is apparent," all of us, see, that do the same things, that Paul is referring to here, we have the same ground. Blessed be the name of Jesus. But only if you faint not. We are told in Galatians 6:9, we read that already. And also in Matthew chapter 24, verse 13, which we also read a few minutes ago. Only those that endure to the end. See, if you start out a race, let's say it's a 400 meter race that you have to go around the track, you know, or it's a 1 mile race, you have to go around the track maybe four times, or even a marathon, or whatever. Some of these longer races. I mean, we've seen some people jump up, jump out, and run so fast, and then their gas runs out. See? And just because they were leading, suppose they were supposed to go around the track, you know, let's say it's a 1500 meter race, and you have to go around the track maybe, you know, 3.5 times or whatever, or 4 times. And suppose he's, you know, he's winning, it looks like he's winning the race. The first round, go around the track, the first 400 meters, he jumps out and he's leading everybody by 100 meters. And everybody's saying, whoa! And before you know it, steam runs out. You know, and he goes asleep. Remember the message last week? See? A little slumber, a little sleep. The next thing you know it, dead already. And wherefore Jesus said, awake, thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and God, the Lord, will give you light. So, he's running, and he becomes weary. See, is anybody going to give him the prize because he won the first 400 meters out of the, you know, 1600 meter race? No, he gets no prize at all. You must endure to the end. See, and not only you endure to the end, you must do it according to the rules in order to get a prize. If you're running in a track race that requires you to stay in your lanes, and you don't stay in your lanes, even if you cross the finish line first, you get disqualified. See, anyhow. Because you didn't keep the rules. See? So, the rules here of getting these rewards are what we're talking about here. There is a prize for these prizes. You must do these things in order to get rewards. Now, quickly, as we finish this off, we're going into the overcomer's reward, which is the real part of this message. But I said all of that as a foundation. Now, these overcomer's rewards are taken from the letters that Jesus commanded John to read, I mean to write to the seven churches that were in Asia at that time, now Asia Minor, which we spoke from last week in the message, Return to Your First Love. So turn with me to Revelation chapter 2. And I'm going to read some of these rewards for the overcomer. And then I am going to tell us what it is that we need to overcome. Revelation chapter 2. Now, if you read the first three chapters of Revelation, they are very enlightening on these topics. Because Jesus commanded John to write these things to the churches. And he said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Till today, he's still saying these things. And he said, what you see, write it in the book and send it to all the seven churches. And John said, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be to you. So John, he wrote this entire thing to the churches. So everybody got the same, the entire, it wasn't that Ephesians only got their own part. And Smyrna only got their own part, and Pergamos, and Thyatira, and Sardis, and Philadelphia, and Laodicea. No, everybody got the whole thing. So, because you must hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches, not only to your own church. See? Hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And what is the Spirit saying to the churches? See? We read Revelation chapter 2 last week, so, about returning to our first love and so forth like that. Now, here are the rewards of the overcomer that he begins to give, you know, for each one of those churches, if they overcome. See, here's the reward. Revelation chapter 2, and I'm going to read every one of them and speak on them for just a little bit. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. To him that overcometh. Overcome what? Well, one of the things that he challenged that church age for about was their loss of their first love, which we talked about already last week. So if you overcome that, an idea said to the church elect, see, we have to overcome the sin nature. You must overcome that sin nature. See. Now, he that hath an ear, let him hear. And if you overcome, he said, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So that means some people will not eat of that tree of life. Because if everybody will eat out of it, there's no reason for Jesus to make a classification and say, you know, those that will eat of it are those that overcome. If everybody will eat of it, see. So, you must overcome in order for you to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the garden of God. Revelation chapter 2, verse 11. I'm just going to go through this real quick and then just say a few words. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. He always says that just about the time that he talks about the reward for the overcome. And that's my message this morning. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. There is a reward for the overcomer. And he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. See, so you will not be hurt of the second death. So that's a wonderful promise. Now, in Revelation chapter 2, and verse 17. I love this one. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the hidden manna. And I will give him a white stone. And in the stone, a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receives. So God, see, he already has a new name written for you in a white stone. And it's waiting for you if you overcome. And if you overcome, you will receive it. And it's a wonderful promise. And he also says, I will give you to eat of the hidden manna. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 26. He says, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end. Notice that again. See. Keepeth my works unto the end. Boy, I love that part. Because that's what we're talking about today. You know. Now remember, we already made a distinction, lest anybody should say that, oh, they're talking about, no, you can't gain salvation by works. We already covered that. See? But if you overcome and keep his works unto the end, here's what he will do. See, I will give you power over the nations. And you shall rule them to the rod of iron. That sounds like Revelation 12:5 to me, doesn't it? See, and this is the same group of people that wants to rule the nations to the rod of iron. He said, you better keep my works unto the end. See, there is a prize for getting that prize of ruling the nations with a rod of iron. See, you know, you think that you just rule the nations with a rod of iron just like that. No, there is a prize for it. And the prize is this. Keep my works unto the end. To him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken, even as I have received of my Father. Woo! And I will give him the morning star. Oh boy. How many of you say amen to that? You know, there is a group that is also promised to have the rod of iron. You can read all about it in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 5. This group will rule the nations with the rod of iron. They are transported from the earth before the devil could do anything about it. See, as soon as they were born, transported to heaven. But in order for them, see, you go and read Revelation chapter 12 and you don't read this here. See, because you say, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Every word of God is pure. Every word of God from Genesis to Revelation all ties together. For you to have that rod of iron, and for you to be able to rule the nations and break them as a vessel of, you know, of a potter and so forth, you must keep his works up to the end. And if you do, I will give you the morning star. Oh boy. How many of you say praise the Lord today? He told Job, he said, where were you when the sons of God shouted for joy? See? And oh, you know, even the morning star and so forth like that. Where were you? See? So the Lord said, I'll give you the morning star. That's a beautiful promise. Now let's quickly read this as we close this out. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5. He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. So, there are some names that will be blotted out. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't say, I will not blot out his name. But I will confess his name. We already told you about that. See, how he will confess you before the angels. He will even introduce you. Confess his name means introduce. You know, how do you confess somebody's name? Introduce the person. That's what I said earlier in this message. to introduce you, confess his name before my Father and his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Now, Revelation 3:12 and 3:21, and I will finish this up. Him that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him my new name. Remember one time he gave them their own new name in a stone. Now he's going to write upon them a new name. See, and I'm going to write upon them the name. See, now, see, these people, what do you overcome? See? Now, these are the same people that received the name of the Lord while they were on earth. They took his name. You know, Eve, she took the word of the devil over the word of the Lord. You know, the people that will overcome at the end of the age, they will take the word of God in its entirety. How many of you say amen? They believe the word of God in its entirety, and he says, and I will write upon him my name of my God and so forth, the name of New Jerusalem, and so on. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And the best part of all, to him that overcometh, in Revelation 3:21, I will grant him to sit with me in my throne. Amen. You know, in other words, you're going to be co-rulers with him. Even as I overcame, see, he overcame too. And we already read how he overcame. He got that pearl of great price. I overcame and I am set with in my Father's throne. So will I do to everyone that overcometh. I will grant them to sit with me in my throne. That's a wonderful promise. How many of you say praise the Lord for that? Now, here is the promise for the elect at the end of the age. All of these promises that we have read combined together are for us today, because he said, hear what the Spirit is saying to churches. But here is one which he gives to us point blank in Revelation 21 and verse 7. And he says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. Ooh. And I will be his God, and he will be my son. Do you want to be the son of God? You must overcome. You must overcome the sin nature. You must overcome all the things that so the cares of this life, like we talked about last week. See, and he that overcometh, he shall inherit all things. Just like Jesus overcame and he inherited all things by opening the book. He inherited it all. And nobody else could do it. But he said, I will share it with you if you overcome. How many of you say praise the Lord to that? Now that's a wonderful, that is a so wonderful, and we are going to begin to end with it here. You know, if you overcome, see, you will gain all of these things that the Lord promised us. And the greatest prize of all, the prize to call him Father. Right here, he says, you know, you'll be my son. You call him Father. You sit with him on his throne. You hear it all things. You know, isn't that wonderful? Praise ye the name of the Lord. To inherit all things, you must overcome. You cannot allow the little things that get you down every day. You know, the simple things weigh you down, you know, defeat you. How can you call yourself an overcomer? You must overcome. Blessed be the name of Jesus. And one way to overcome is to take the name of Jesus. Everything that afflicts you has a name, as we said earlier this morning. Whether it's sickness, it has a name. It might be diabetes, it might be cancer, it might be leukemia, it might be anything else. It has a name. And because it has a name, the name of Jesus is above it. Because he said, I have given Jesus a name that is above every name. Every name. Whether you have a financial situation or a challenge, it has a name. See? And the name of Jesus is over it. Now if you take the name of Jesus, and that's where the power is. It's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unified in that name. Praise the Lord. When you take his name, then you can overcome. And you can have all of these rewards. Let us stand to our feet this morning. Stand to your feet with me this morning. These are the rewards. While you are standing, I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 22, verses 12 and 13. Revelation 22. We're going to close this message with this verse. Revelation 22, verses 12 and 13. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. That's what we've been talking about all day. To give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end. The first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments. Amen. That they may have right to the tree of life. We read about it before as one of those promises. I will give you to eat of the tree of life. Blessed are they that do his commandments. Now, if you don't want to do his commandments, but you want to eat the tree of life, you deceive yourself. I will give him to eat of the tree of life if they do my commandments. So we see that God has a lot of promises and a lot of rewards. And for every reward, there is a price that has to be paid. Sometimes the price is of having faith. Sometimes it's the price of doing something for the Lord. Sometimes it's the price of this or that. But for you to give the reward, that there is a price to be paid. The greatest price which we are talking about this morning is that we may sit within his throne. And after we sit within his throne, you know, oh, that's wonderful. And then remember also, you know, he has all his rewards for everything that we have done, ever that you have ever done while you are on earth. That's a reward for it. And you will not do your reward. And the Lord, he doesn't speak an idle word. Everything that he ever said, say the word that I speak, will judge on the last day. Everything that he ever said, it will be exactly as he said it. He has never spoken and will never speak an idle word. So everything he spoke, he will do just like he said. So if you believe with all your heart this morning, I want you to rededicate yourself, because his commandments are really not great. In order for you not only to hear the commendation of this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased, you also need to hear the commendation. Thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Everything that we ever done for the Lord. See, remember Jesus, even though he was the Son of God, he was also a servant of God. You know, he said, my servant, I will bring forth the branch. See, so he served the Father in the office of the Son. See, I want you to understand that this morning. And we do the same exact thing. He said, the Father had two sons, sir. And he sent them, go and do this and so forth like that. So the Son is to serve the Father. See? So, and Jesus, the ultimate Son, the blueprint of what the Son of God will be like, he served the Father 100% submission. And that's the way that we must live. Wherefore God has highly exalted him, giving him a name that is above every name. And today, if you will do the same thing, if you will submit yourself and let the Holy Spirit be first and all in your life, and do everything that the Lord commands you to do, he that keeps my commandments, and keeps my works to the end, shall be an overcomer, and shall see you in my throne. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning in the name of Jesus. This word that we have read concerning all of your rewards. The reward of faith, the reward of a soul winner, the reward of endurance, the reward of giving, you know, even water and so forth, benevolence and all of these things. The reward of faith is that the laborer receives wages. The laborer is worthy of his hire. And all of the things that you promised that you will do for us, we pray, Lord, this morning, give us an understanding. That we may understand the word. Say, let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches this morning. And Lord, it is you that can work in us, not only to will, but also to perform of your good pleasure. Who is sufficient unto all these things, Lord? We cannot do these things in ourselves. But you can do them through us. And as we submit ourselves to you this morning, you may do them. Even through us, to the glory of your name. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. We are going to change the order of service in a minute. We are going to break bread to close this out. And I want you, while we are breaking bread, to think on these things. Think on these things. Because at the end, you want to be able to say, you know, like Paul, I appointed the fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And I am going to receive the crown. See, Paul so told him point blank, because he knew what he did. See, and he said, well, it wasn't me. He said, for the grace of God, I was in me. And he said, by the grace of God, I was in me. I labored more than them all. See, and he's going to get that reward. Blessed be the name of Jesus. So this morning, there is a great reward for everything that we do for the Lord. Not just the one we get here on earth, but the greatest rewards are the ones that you get in heaven. See? Because for some, there might be weeping of national tears. But for us that believe, we shall receive the reward. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Now, while we break bread, I'm going to ask Brother Julius to come and do this part. We're going to break bread, and at the end, we will pray together. And while we are doing this, I want you to focus on the Lord. No matter what your needs are this morning, the power of the Lord is present. The power of the Lord is present with you.